Hey, it's your host, Chris Lindsay, and I want to share some big news with you. PitchList is now part of the American Songwriter Podcast Network. We are really excited to be part of this new network alongside some other amazing podcasts. So make sure to check out americansongwriter.com/podcast or click the link in the episode notes to listen to some of the best shows in music. Hey everybody, Chris Lindsay here, and you're listening to Pitch List. We want to discover what makes creative people tick. Join us as we explore what it means to be a writer, and more importantly, what it means to be a person. Remember why you love music, and welcome to Pitch List. Good morning. It's episode 2 of Pandemic Pitch List. This is Chris. I got a great guest. We got this morning, Devin Gilfillian is coming in, and I'm really excited. Devin, how are you this morning?
Chris, I'm so good, man. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here, man. In the Pandemic Pitch List, I love it.
Yeah. I just thought I'm just going to kind of roll, but do you co-write in town? I know you live in Nashville. Do you co-write with people here or mostly write by yourself?
You know, I co-write all the time. A lot, most of the writing I actually do is co-writing. I love taking songs that I imagine and bouncing them off other people that I trust. So yeah, I've been doing like the beginning of the whole pandemic was like a lot of Zoom, yes. Like Zoom writes.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, weird, but like also interesting and fun to figure out how to create from afar and like how to like be excited about ideas, musical ideas when you're not in the room with somebody, you know? So that was pretty cool. That's been pretty cool.
It is interesting. But so, and the question is, are you getting, I actually did a actual write this last week toward the end of the week. Have you gotten back in the room with some people to write, or are you still on Zoom?
I've done like a couple porch writes.
Okay.
But mostly that's it. And with the time that I've been spending away from everybody, like I've also been really diving into Logic and GarageBand and teaching myself how to produce, like engineer and get more savvy as a, you know, with sound engineering and stuff. So that's been really, really useful. I'm grateful for that time.
That's fantastic, man. So let's go back. I want to hear more about your story, man. So you came, you came from Philadelphia. Was it 2013 that you came to Nashville, or was it later than that?
2013, I came down and it was 2013, August of 2013. I moved down and I did AmeriCorps for a year and like worked for a nonprofit called Rebuilding Together. And it was amazing. I got to meet so many cool people. And, you know, in the meantime, I was, you know, jamming with certain different people, playing in like a reggae cover band and like a Delta Blues cover band over here and like just like kind of like testing the waters and trying to be diverse with my music selection and finally I started working at City Winery, this restaurant music venue, and that's where I met my drummer who's now my manager as well, and we kind of started this whole thing, you know. And It's been good ever since.
Man, that's so cool. Love. And it's AmeriCorps.
Yeah, AmeriCorps. Yeah.
And tell me more. I'm so impressed, man. How does AmeriCorps work? I've read about it, but I don't know much about it.
It's incredible. It's like it's funded by the government, and it's kind of like the Peace Corps, except it's based in the United States. Instead of like sending someone out to another country for 2 years, you work in somewhere in the U.S. for a year, and you can do so many different programs like rebuilding together. They fix up homes for low income homeowners. There's Habitat for Humanity. There's you know, like after school tutoring programs. There's all sorts of, you know, just like wherever there's need in a nonprofit, like you can figure out where you want to go. But I applied to New Orleans, Nashville, and Austin. You know, really, I wanted to go somewhere musical. And,
yeah,
and
all three music cities. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little planning behind it, you know, but.
But I think that's, that says a lot about you, man. That's really, I'm impressed.
There's a lot of need, man. There's so much need in this world. And music to me is just a gateway to get, you know, a weapon that I can use to get that, to fill that need, you know?
Really? I love that. Well, let's talk about that. So for your career and your trajectory, talk about that. So you are you looking for to use your musical abilities, which are substantial, by the way, to sort of as a platform to help people and to reach out and talk about that?
100%. I mean, my record I just put out, Black Hole Rainbow, you know, the whole message is just like I want to lift people up with my music, and I want people to feel empowered. And you know, that record is me going through depression and wanting other people to know that if you're depressed, you have, you know, don't be scared to reach out and ask somebody for help. And The Good Life is about people recognizing each other's differences, their, you know, whether it be race, religion, sexual orientation, whatever, you know, a different country they may be from, like just recognizing it and seeing how beautiful it is, and not creating otherness, which is really kind of the terrible thing that's polarizing our country right now. And that's where the frustration came from, specifically with that song, was just like having, just feeling like the country was kind of being ripped apart, which unfortunately is happening.
It is unfortunate. I spend a good amount of time trying to think about why that is. And I think it comes down just in my analysis of fear, and so we've got to find a way to look at the other side and help them deal with those fears, you know, yeah. So that, I guess I'm not really sure, but
is fear. Absolutely. You know, this fight and this battle is when it feels like it's over, racism seems to just regenerate itself and recreate itself, and that's what it's done since the 70s, and you know, with the whole war on drugs and redlining and certain legislation that has just kept people of color in the communities that they've been in and not been lifted up in the ways that they should, you know, mass incarceration. And, you know, certain things that, and now we're seeing that that there's just needs to be a reimagination of policing in this country, which is, it's just the reality. I'm excited. I'm actually excited about it because I feel like people are opening up their eyes. They are opening up to those conversations where they weren't open to before. Black Lives Matter. When people heard that 2 years ago, it was so controversial. But now when people say Black Lives Matter, significantly more of the United States, they agree that is the case, you know, because there is an issue. There's a, you know, and
yeah, well there, yes. I mean, yes. You know what? I don't want to talk about it. I want you to talk about it. Also, I want to hear what you have to say.
We can talk about it, bro.
Yeah. I just want to say, there's at least two different experiences in America. You know what I mean?
And yeah, absolutely. Is that, you know, black and brown people have been criminalized over the past 100 years, and and the war on crime and the war on drugs has turned it on a war on ourselves, our own country. And that, and so money and money, like so much money was poured into policing to militarize it. And I think now we're realizing it, and it's really, the entire world is realizing it. The entire world is protesting, and it's beautiful. And I do believe that there's going to be change. I think that, and I have a great friend that's a police officer in DC, and he's a great cop, and he's scared. He's scared for his job because he's like, you know, is this job the job for me? Like, do I want to be a police officer? And the answer was yes. And because he got into it to protect people.
Right.
And he's doing it for the right reasons. And, but he does know that there are police, there are departments that are bad, and, you know, and even in Pennsylvania and like Ohio and it's like everywhere, all around
everywhere.
And there's gotta be, you know, things that help hold those places accountable. And I really think people are going to march in the streets until that happens.
I hope they do. I hope they do peacefully.
And, you know, I think the most important thing now is having those conversations with your friends that don't really see it. And I think what has to happen is both people have to come into the conversation with an open heart, open mind.
Yep.
And listen and feel heard and not, you know, getting angry at each other, but just trying to understand each other. And I've had those conversations. I've had a couple. I've had one that was great. And my buddy, I really think his eyes opened. And
what about the other one? Did the other one not see it?
I called him and he didn't call me back. So I bought this vinyl that I'm going to send him.
What's going on, Marvin Gaye? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's to me, this record is like, it's everything that is happening in 1971 and post civil rights. And like, he's just talking about the human condition of a black man in that world. And also just like what God is love and spreading that message of just the struggles. And that, I want him to hear that. I listened to that record a week ago and I just wept.
I'm going to listen to it today. I haven't heard it in a long time. You know, I think I was listening to you talk and we can do better. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we can. I know that we can.
So glad we have you on today, man. I think it's you got a really loving approach and I really appreciate what you're saying. I mean, when you come from a honest, open, loving point of view, I think that you can, it's such a stronger vehicle for the message. You know what I mean?
And I think, agree.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with you now. How's the touring thing looking for you? Were you doing a lot of touring before and will you soon again?
Well, I'm really grateful. I got to do a tour with Grace Potter January like 8th to February 22nd. And that tour was one of my favorite tours that I got to go on. The Grace and her whole band are just amazing, beautiful people. The shows were packed. We're playing like all these house of blues and like, you know, 2,000-3,000 cap rooms and theaters. And we were spoiled and the music felt great. Like, you know, when you play with a band and like, you're just inspired by their music as you're watching them. Like that was, it was inspiring. And, that literally February 22nd, was when it stopped. So it like, we got off tour, off the road. We finished the tour right before the shit hit the fan. Like, wow. Right. And I mean, as far as touring for this year, we have some stuff planned in November, potentially in like North Carolina. But we'll see, you know, like I'm not going to pretend that the pandemic is not real, because it is, and it's here, and I want people to be safe when they come out. And
sure,
you know, it's like, it's loosening up, and I'm glad that it's loosening up. But yeah, so it's just so hard. It's tricky. It's like, we have to take it. Oh, it's like a week by week kind of thing, you know? But I'll tell you what, in the meantime, I'm writing my butt off. And I think it's really important to, I just, in my head, right as this was all starting, this, you know, COVID, I was like, I am going to, all right, it's time to write. It's time to create. It's time to generate. You know, if I'm not going to be on the road, I got to figure out how to keep making music.
That's great, man. So since you're planning for maybe November to come out, but like you said, we don't really know. Do you do the streaming thing? Do you stream out to your fans, maybe play songs for them, or have you set those kind of things up too?
I haven't done as much live. Like, I did one Zoom concert thing that was fine, you know, but not many live stream concert things. Cause honestly, they don't sound that great. Yeah. like as far as like Instagram and Facebook Live, you know, like maybe Facebook Live can sound good if you have the right setup, like, and gear and sound. But ultimately, yeah, I'm like, I want to touch the person,
right.
You know,
right. Like, right.
In their room.
Right.
But in the meantime, however you can make it special if you can't be there, it's, I think it's important.
Now, I think I figured this out. One of my questions on my list was your record, Black Hole Rainbow. Okay.
Yes.
But you started talking about something and I think it clicked to me what it means. Are you talking about depression with black hole?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That's it, man. For me, you have to get through the depression. You have to be present. You can't numb yourself and try and, you know, get around that depression. You have to really live through it. And if you do that, you can get to the other side in the light and the beauty and the colors. And, you know, I think that's the only way that I've actually grown,
right,
you know, as a person. And that's what the record's about, just falling in out of love, falling in love, and also wanting people to love each other despite their differences. You know, just the pain that I was feeling within myself personally, and then also but feeling for, honestly, for this country, you know?
So it's like the rainbow on the other side of depression, when I heard you talking, I thought, okay, black hole rainbow, I get it. And then you're telling me about AmeriCorps. And one thing I wanted to touch on, I think I've heard this said, and I think it's true. The best way to feel better is to help someone else. Was that part of your motivation for AmeriCorps?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, as altruistic as I'd like to think I am, it's definitely, it serves for me to help others. It I don't know. It gives me purpose.
And
I think that's, to me right now, like the past couple of weeks, I've always been like, what is, you know, sometimes being a musician and being an artist, you're like, what do I have to say? And what, you know, what's so important right now? And to me, like, nothing is more important than this moment right now, this movement that's happening. And I feel empowered to use my music as a weapon to push that, you know? And I think that's important. I don't know where I was wrapping around.
No, I love it. I love it. So Well, first of all, I can't wait to hear what you're going to do with that. I mean, so you feel very moved to sort of direct your creative energy toward solving, or not solving, but sort of addressing all this.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's ultimately deep down why, you know, as a musician, like, yes, I want to create art and make people laugh and dance and have fun. But I think to ignore like what the situations in the world that you're living in as an, you know, as an artist as well, and not soak that in and let it leak into your art. Yeah. You would be ignoring a part of your creative self, I feel like, and you know, I, especially as a Black artist too, right now.
Yeah.
And like, it's a your art is a reflection of you, and I'm a Black man, and in this world, Black men are unfortunately being killed by police officers more than usual, and there's pain, and that pain can't be ignored in my art at this moment, you know, and there will be. You know, my goal is to have a record that you can make love to and then also feel politically moved at the same time. You know, that's
right.
To me, that's what's going on is, you know, it's like this.
It is. It is.
Sweet, beautiful record. But you're still like, you're like, man, like trigger happy. Well, listen, like Inner City Blues. I mean, just like everything. It's just so smooth. If you can do that, if you can capture, if you can package it all in that way, then that's you're a genius.
Now, let me ask you this: you're a young guy. How did you? Were you always into these older records? Did you get exposed when you were young to? Because that's like some vintage stuff there. It's the most amazing stuff ever to me. But I'm older.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious about somebody your age. How'd you get into that?
My dad is a musician. He's a singer, and he definitely Stevie Wonder,
yeah,
Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, Ray Charles, Donny Hathaway. Like my dad was huge into those cats, and I was always listening and hearing him sing. And he's a wedding singer, and But then I fell in love with guitar and started listening to Jimi Hendrix was the number one dude I like attached to. He was like my guitar hero. And from that point on, it ripped open the classic rock, you know, whole world, Zeppelin and the Allman Brothers and, you know, and anybody in that crowd, Janis Joplin. I love older music. To me, I love history. You know, I love the people that came before me and created. They have already created these amazing sounds.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Pitch List will be right back. You know, I noticed on one of your videos, I'm not sure which one it was, but you play the shit out of slide guitar, man. You're a really great slide player.
Thank you.
It reminded me of Allman Brothers or some of those great slide players. You're good, man. You're good at it.
Thank you, Chris. I try, man. I try. Slide guitar is such a... I love it so much, and I'm still a very young student, and it's just something. It's just it sounds like a voice, you know.
Yeah,
it can sing in such a way that is so emotional.
That's so cool, man! I never heard anybody say that. It is like singing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I guess I'm just focused on it. It's so technically hard to do because to keep the intonation, you know, you've lost your frets, and it's such a precision activity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
It's hard for me. It's really hard.
It is hard. And I think I've been trying to do it since I was, 14 years old.
Okay.
So like, I definitely like,
no, you're really good at it. Plus you're an incredible singer and I love, The Good Life. That's it, man. Sonically, that thing is so good. And the chord changes in the chorus just knock me out. You know, it's not a modulation. I'd have to analyze it to look at what it really is. But it is fantastic. So let me ask you this, when you moved, cause your music is not really country, although it is rootsy and probably shares that one slide piece I saw you do actually did sound a little countryish. But anyway, what was it like for you moving here? And I'm sure you've rubbed up against some of the country writers, and that everybody does.
Definitely.
And some of those people are so amazing. What's your take on it here, being here?
I'm so grateful and glad that I moved here because of, and got to absorb the country music that has, developed here. And I'm falling in love with like Willie Nelson and Waylon and some cool, like some good outlaw country stuff. The players, the musicianship is insane. The songwriting is, to me, some of the best in the world. And I think that I've really grown a whole new appreciation for country music. And it's definitely leaked into my early, like my first EP was for sure like influenced by like Sturgill Simpson.
Right.
And like those, like that kind of sound leaked into it, but it was, gospel and staple singers and that kind of stuff too. But now like evolving into, Black Hole Rainbow, I wanted that to be like, yes, I'm an influenced by old soul music and psychedelic rock, but I want to push it forward and mix in even hip hop production stuff and play things with a drum machine, because that's what I grew up loving. I grew up, watching Timbaland and Pharrell, and I wanted to be a producer like that. And so I want to continue to like kind of take ingredients of old soul and psychedelic soul and rock and roll and even folk or whatever it may be, and being here in Nashville gave me those songwriting skills, those like country, even you could say country traditional songwriting skills. And now I can take it and kind of mix in flavors that I want,
Yeah, it is a great classroom here. It's, I think even when people don't do country music, that the lyric side that you can learn with great country writers,
yes,
because they're so focused on the lyric, just the general idea of, okay, what are we saying and what does it mean? And does this make sense? And some of the more country ideas of lyric writing are so great for every genre. Let me ask you this. I always love to, and you're an artist, but you are also a writer.
Yeah.
I mean, you're also a pure songwriter. I love to ask this question. Did you have a moment when you came here where it didn't feel like it was going to work for you, where, or before you came here? I love to talk about people's struggle. Did you have a struggling period?
I struggled a little bit like before I came down and just didn't know. The struggle that I had really was trying to figure out how to use my voice as a songwriter and how to like make sure that it's the loudest voice I found that at when I moved down to Nashville, and it took me years, like at least a year and a half of playing with random bands like the Delta Blues cover band, this band Black Cat Crossing, just playing in like weird little like cafes and playing for like 4-hour acoustic sets and stuff in bars and playing a bunch of covers and
for no money. Cause nobody gets paid in Nashville. Nobody.
For barely any money.
Yeah.
But at the time, it didn't feel like I was struggling. It felt like I was putting my time in. I felt like I was practicing for the, you know, something that was bigger. That's what it comes down to. You have to put those hours on, you know, on the street or at the bar. And
you're a very positive person, and I love your take on it. So you did have your salad days, and you're working at City Winery probably, and then doing long shows at night. But also, I had a period, and I've known a lot of people that, I mean, when you're young like that, you can do that, you know, and you keep your overhead low. And it is college, you know, it's a very healthy, and I think it's a great formula for success to look at it that way. Like you said, you were learning and you were coming up and you were doing your things. And, I feel like I have a lot of people that listen to the podcast may not live in Nashville. A lot of them do, but there's always a question I get of, should I move to Nashville? And that's a complicated answer, but, I know people struggle. I know people love music and they feel like that's their purpose, and they may be in Salt Lake City, and there are songwriting jobs in Nashville, even if you're not, you know, live and breathe country music, because I didn't. And they're always wondering whether or not do I do it or not. And I'm not asking you that, just giving you the backdrop of the question. I say if you're young, go for it. You know, your hometown will always be there. You can go back.
100%. And that's how I felt. Like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, like, you made this big jump to Nashville. Were you scared? And I'm just like, hell no. I was ready. I was ready to go. And, you know, I think that it's important for people to take that jump. You know, they have to take that jump. And when I moved down, when I was doing AmeriCorps, you get paid $890 a month, and you're eligible for food stamps. So I would get like $190 in food stamps a month. I was broke. So I was not going out or anything, but I found an apartment with like a great person for like $300 something a month in Woodbine in South Nashville. And, you know, I think it just takes like finding those little situations where you're not going to be, you living within your means, and it's totally doable, you know. Getting more expensive now in Nashville for sure.
Yeah, but it's doable. And, and what I always tell young musicians and writers too is, keep your overhead low, man. If you have a car payment, you can figure out a way. But if you don't get one. Don't get a car payment. That's the one thing I used to see when I was younger that would take a person out of it, because now they got $500 a month car payment. Now, you know, or buy a house before you need to buy a house. Just like you said, rent a room. Just keep your overhead low so you can learn, so you can do it. It definitely takes a few years to come here or LA or anywhere you go. It takes a while, man. That's if you're talented. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't think
you got to come down and you got to bring it. That's for sure.
You do.
You got to have your SoundCloud link already ready to go to send to somebody if you don't have your music up on whatever, you know, like you have to bring, here's my, you know, check my stuff out. There you go. Like, the music speaks for itself, and let's jam.
So it's kind of like that's kind of now like your calling card.
Yeah. 100%. It's like, you have to have music online in a way, you know, whether it's on Spotify or whether you just upload your own stuff on SoundCloud, as long as somebody can hear what you do, I feel like there's people are open to jam, open to collaborate.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, I know, from my listen in the last couple of days of your stuff, there is a nostalgic vibe to what you're doing, but it's also fresh. You have a killer voice. You play the crap out of guitar. And I mean, the sync possibilities for you alone are huge. I'm looking through your thing. So Troublemaker, one of your songs, 6 million streams on Spotify. That's crazy, man. That's great.
It's wild. Wow. The people, they love the Troublemaker.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to do another thing here. We just started this new thing, if you're cool with it. It's called the Pitchless Lightning Round. Are you up for it? Right. I want to give you like 9 questions.
Oh, baby.
And then it's just like a very quick answer, okay? Is that, are you cool with it?
I love it.
It's songwriting. It's all songwriting. It's geeky songwriter stuff.
I'm here ready. We go.
Lightning round. Guitar or piano?
Guitar.
Track or instrument in the room?
Instrument.
Notepad or iPhone?
iPhone.
Bridge or no bridge?
Bridge.
Words or music first?
Music first.
Co-write or solo write?
Both.
Okay. That's good. All right, that's I get that. Morning or evening writing session?
Morning.
And your favorite writing snack?
Ooh, PB&J.
All right. PB&J, that's mine.
Yes.
That's
it's
mine.
It's so good. I got the almond butter and
yep.
Some jalapeno jelly.
Mm. Oh.
Oh yeah, on some
I haven't had that in a while. Jalapeno jelly.
Yeah.
I like strawberry and I like just regular chunky peanut butter. And I used to write with the Warren Brothers all the time, and I would make PB&Js in the middle of the writing session. And they loved them so much, they started, like, one day I forgot, and they just kept looking at me. And I'm like, what do you look at me? They're like, Sam, where's the PB&J? And I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot. They wanted them, man. They wanted them. People, I'm telling you, they're going to think I'm crazy, but I bet you get this. People completely underestimate how good a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is.
They do.
They do.
100%. It's like, it's amazing. PB&J and ramen is my other guilty yeah. pleasure. I'm a ramen fanatic.
My 19-year-old boy loves ramen. We keep a case of it, and they eat it. I think he eats it every night. That's his like midnight snack, you know?
Oh man, I used to eat like 4 packets at a time in college. It was like watching a python eat a deer. It was scary.
Wow, plus you can eat a whole meal for $1.
It's so good. So good. Well,
when I was in my very first band, we live in this crappy band house. We played frat parties and stuff, and there was a grocery store around the corner, and they would sell 5 chicken pot pies for $1, you know?
Oh man. Look
and
at
so
that.
We had like a fridge stuff. We'd buy like 50 of them, and we lived off of those. Same things. Wow. Chicken pot pies.
That's how you got by.
That's how we got by.
That's how you had to do it.
So what else is coming up for you? I think we've covered a lot of stuff. Do you want to talk? I know that Black Hole Rainbow is the current record you have out, right?
Yes. Honestly, I was thinking about doing this, covering the whole What's Going On record and with like a bunch of friends of mine in Nashville and raising, you know, awareness for voting registration. That's one idea that I'm working
Man,
on. I'm
going to do something. I love that idea. Devin, you should do that. It's like putting a spotlight on that record, and it fits so well with what you do, and then you could do a modern take on it. Or not modern, but like an update. And Well, I think we've got a good – do you mind doing a song for us?
I'd love to. I'd love to. I'll sing The Good Life for you.
Killer, man. Yeah, let's do that, and we'll take it out on that. That's awesome, man.
Awesome. Yesterday, trouble was so far away, making castles in the sand. Everyone a different shade, but everybody was the same when the lion kissed the land. So it seems in my dreams, may it be. I'm talking about that good life I can see.
color shows what it really means to be beautiful. Remember when the violence stopped and all the doors are left unlocked and the stranger was your brother? Remember when the bank got sold and everybody took the gold, but everybody helped each other? Ooh, so it seems in my dreams, may it be. I'm talking about that good life I can see. All the colors show us what it really means to be beautiful. I'm talking about that good life where we all have peace. We don't shut our doors and tell them all to leave, 'cause they're beautiful. Come on, we gotta act, love attack, take your mind back in time, rewind to Eden, where we can find peace, Lord, if we just believe in. I'm talking about that good life I can see. All the colors show us what it really means to be beautiful. I'm talking about that good life where we all have peace. We don't shut our doors and tell them all to leave, 'cause they're beautiful.
So good, man. Wow.
Thank you, thank you.
Just love it.
Appreciate it, brother.
Devin Gilfillian, so glad you could be on the show today, man.
I'm grateful for y'all having me and letting me yap and talk and use my voice, man. I appreciate that.
Love it. Love everything about it. I love your positive spirit, man. I love your talent. You are awesome, kid. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, man.
Be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Cool. Okay.
You take it easy. Have a good one.
All right. See you. You too, man. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Pitch List. To hear songs written and or recorded by today's guest, check out this week's playlist by finding us on Spotify at Pitch List Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe to us on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. And if you want, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We also want to know what songwriters, artists, or music business professionals you want to hear from next. Let us know by visiting our website at pitchlistpodcast.com or follow our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Thanks again for listening. And we'll see you next week.